Welcome to episode 37 of the 11.7 podcast brought to you by College Baseball Hub. It is another Friday night and we have a good show for you. James, you ready?
Let's roll.
What's up, everybody? We are live, James and Ben, on a Friday night, deep into the midnight. We are excited to announce that this is episode 37, and we have a lot of fun things that we're going to do. But first, we want to talk about our social media pages that if you guys don't follow us, you should. Our Twitter's been blowing up like crazy. We got, I think, over 500 new followers this week. We have an Instagram page that is in collaborations with College Baseball Hub, and we're getting a lot of new followers with that as well. The main thing we want to stress is that we engage with our followers, so if you guys have an opinion, feel free to voice your opinion, because we will take that into account and give you our thoughts. Check out our YouTube page, where we post video highlights of all of our interviews, podcasts, anything fun going on with video we have. It's turning out to be quite the joy with the YouTube page. So, but let's dive into it, James. We have, it's going to be a shorter episode for us today. We'll admit that.
But we don't know.
Yeah. When we were planning it out, we had a lot of key points we wanted to talk about, but there wasn't a lot of fluff. So pretty much anything we talk about today is going to be, high intensity. It's going to be very entertaining for the listeners, but not as long as most of our other episodes. So, some stuff I have written down for us for this episode. Definitely going to talk about first things first. I just saw this before we started the show. Somehow Stanford and USC are both wearing black jerseys, which is kind of against the unwritten
Max
rules of baseball.
On the coaching staffs.
We'll dive more into it, but that's just a little teaser. I don't know how that happens, but we will get to the bottom of that. This is just good late night Friday action for you. Some Pac-12 doing Pac-12 stuff. Yeah.
But you ask why you don't get covered. You ask.
They probably didn't realize that there was actually a live stream for that game tonight, because they're not used to it. So they thought nobody in the nation would know that they both wore black tonight. But
no one's gonna watch us anyway. We're just wearing whatever the hell we want.
Yeah, we're also going to talk about Ethan Small and his dominant performance in College Station against the Aggies, and kind of a lot of chirping between Mississippi State and Texas A&M at the end of the game. It's going to live up to a great doubleheader tomorrow, so we'll talk a lot about that. We're also going to break down the Texas State Bobcats from start to finish. We'll let you guys know all the details about that team and who to watch come regional time. They're looking like the front runners right now in the powerful Sun Belt Conference, and we're also going to talk.
You here every day.
Yeah, we're gonna have a little personality segment where James and I talk about our two favorite weather delay incidents in college baseball that happened to us. And no, we're not talking about rain. We're talking about other delays that have postponed games.
Spoil it.
And we're gonna leave you at that. So. James, I'm going to go ahead and read some scores from today. It was a pretty normal day, besides there was two games that really stuck out as far.
It's all mucho offense Friday night.
For a Friday night, the only difference is there was a lot of runs scored. We're not seeing 2-0 games. I think the lowest scored game was Louisville beating Notre Dame 2-0. And then we had Mississippi State beating Texas A&M 4-0. Those were just Reed Detmers and Ethan Small, just dominant performances on the road. Both of them showed up to opposing ballparks, ready to pitch, carry their team to a win. But we had a game in the SEC that had 33 runs scored. We also had Georgia Tech putting up 25 against Western Carolina. TCU's bats finally woke up with a 10-run seventh inning. There was a lot of runs being scored. So let's dive into it. I'll go ahead and get started.
Yeah.
East Carolina, they take both games of a doubleheader at Cincinnati today, 9-4 and 6-3.
Dude, they are a machine.
ECU continues to roll, continuing to prove themselves as maybe a national seed. Right now, I think if the season ended, they would deserve a top eight national seed. So they, all they have to do is keep winning games in the American, win that conference tournament, and they're sitting real pretty, James.
Dude, they imagine East Carolina showing up to Omaha. They're if they did, they would be they would have, let's see, they'd be close to 50 wins by the time they got there.
Oh, I know. That's so much fun to see too.
Actually, it's gonna be closer to 60 because there's 10 games left. They're gonna have 43, 44 wins. Be close to 60 by the time they get to Omaha, because then there's you enter the tournament with like 44 wins.
Yeah,
you gotta win 5 games to get to Omaha. So
that's right. And so East Carolina, great pitching staff, powerful offense, and they actually had a play today down the right field line where I think it was, I don't remember who made the diving catch, but it's definitely gonna be like a top 2 or 3 play on SportsCenter tomorrow morning. Just full extension, full speed. It was cool. It was a cool play. So you guys look for that highlight. I think we might have retweeted it today on Twitter. But there was a game that I forgot that was actually a classic Friday night. One of the low-key biggest, probably one of the biggest weekend series we had with Oklahoma State and Oregon State. Oklahoma State goes to Oregon State. OSU comes out with a win 1-0. But what OSU, you ask? What OSU, you ask? It's the orange-black OSU. Oh, wait. Still don't know which one.
Was it the cowboy or the freaking damn animal? Which one? Literally.
The Beavers? No, it was the Cowboys won 1-0. Beat number 3 Oregon State. I don't know why I called them number 3. They're definitely not number 3. I think they're 7 right now in our rankings.
Yep.
I was looking at old rankings. But, yeah, Oregon State, huge for the RPI. Huge for their battle of a 2-seed coming regional play. This is the non-conference weekends that I love in the middle of conference play where they go, like some teams will schedule like Alabama State, I think. Like,
yeah, Louisville last week.
That last week. This and like Miami did it this week with Bethune-Cookman. Or Oklahoma State and Oregon State just were like, hey, let's knuckle up one time. Let's meet on the streets. Let's just battle it out, see which team's better. Oregon State takes a key Friday night. Because now they just have to win one of the next two to win next year.
Oklahoma State.
Oklahoma State. What did I just say? Oregon State?
Yep.
Oh, my gosh. Oklahoma State wins today. And they have to win one of the next two to win the series, which would be huge for the resume.
Dude, I feel like Oregon State has just been bored lately, dropping these midweek games and then getting...
Well, they're hurt.
Yeah, but they've been hurt. And I don't know, dude. They're not playing their best ball at the right time, but they could turn around on Saturday and Sunday.
I was going to say, though, it's scary when a team that good isn't playing good baseball and they're still like at the top of their conference, still high in the rankings, because they know like they're going to get hot. Like the more baseball you play, like the more the averages level out and teams that are playing well start to regress. Oregon State's still a scary team come June, because once they get into the tournament, it's 0-0 record, and like anything can happen, and they'll match up with anybody in the nation, that's for sure.
Yes.
So Oklahoma State, usually an offensive team, wins a close 1-0 game today. Look for those bats to wake up a little bit tomorrow. Another big upset that we had today was Florida State losing to Pitt 10-0
at home,
James. So right whenever we thought Florida State figured it out, they lose to the Pitt Panthers 10-0 Friday night. Does it get any worse than that? I mean, I don't know. It might not get any worse than that.
Just to give you guys a little inkling on, oh, they lost a game to Pitt, no big deal. Pitt had 4 ACC wins heading into tonight. Now they're up to 5. It's got 20% of their conference wins in one night. Unbelievable. It's a rough loss for Mike Martin's club.
Yeah. Just whenever, we literally were talking about how that we thought they turned the corner and they were going to host a regional somehow. Excuse me. But like that, like games like this don't help the cause.
It just doesn't add up, Ben. It just doesn't add up.
Another team that we thought turned the corner looks pretty bad tonight with the Florida Gators. They lose to Georgia. Usually losing to Georgia on a Friday night is acceptable, but Emerson Hancock did not pitch today, at least not that I saw. And they lose to Georgia. Florida still, I don't know their identity. I know they're talented, but this year they just don't have the want and like kind of the grit that they've had in the past.
They're pretty young. I think they're pretty young, and they're just not there yet.
And Big Ten action, probably the two best well-rounded teams in the Big Ten faced off today, James. Indiana, who we have ranked, I believe we still have them ranked, somewhere in like the 20s. Indiana loses and gets shut out by Illinois today, 4-0. Illinois has been playing great baseball as of late.
Dude.
They're a team that's going to have some draft picks this year. They have a closer that I think has career like 50-something saves. Like that's the type of pitcher that will come out and get 7 outs to win a regional. You know, come out and get a 3-inning save. That's the stuff that a lot of teams are lacking, and they won't take them deep in the playoffs. But Illinois has that. They have a great offense.
I was going to say, I've been watching a lot of Big Ten baseball in the last month. I really like the conference now. Like, I think it's pretty good. Like it.
From top to bottom, I mean, I think they're fourth, fifth best conference. Because you even got like Michigan, who's really good, Illinois, Indiana. I'm blanking on a lot of other teams that are not bad, but
Minnesota's
hosted a regional recently, right? So, I mean, yeah, I agree with that. Iowa's turning the corner. Iowa beats UC Irvine today 6-3.
Let's see, like Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, Minnesota. 5 very, very solid ball clubs.
Yeah. No, you're right. And Purdue's not bad either. Purdue's kind of turning the corner. The Big Ten, not a bad conference. But so anyways, the last couple scores I wanted to touch on before we moved on. Our boy Alek Manoah loses tonight, and we will accept the loss on behalf of him. Somehow we jinxed him.
The loss will be bestowed onto the 11.7 staff.
Yeah, we talked him up, and we've tweeted at him. We'll take the blame because they lost to TCU, who's been struggling, and they were actually in position to win the game, West Virginia was, but TCU puts up a 10 spot in the top of the 7th.
Too little, too late. Not impressed. A nice little moral victory as you approach finals and play the last couple of games.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, this does hurt West Virginia's chances of hosting. Not looking great in the Big 12. I think in order to host, you got to either win the regular season in the Big 12 or win the tournament as like a 2 or 3 seed in the Big 12. It's going to be tough for West Virginia, but I still think they're an Omaha sleeper. Just had one bad inning. I think as a whole, they're a good club. Last game I want to talk about is the LSU Ole Miss game because this is going to transition perfectly into our next segments, plural. We have two coming from this game. LSU wins 8-3, right, James? Just proving that Ole Miss doesn't deserve to be in the top 25 because
another game I got right today.
Yeah, that's right. but if you aren't aware, we have expelled Ole Miss from the top 25 because they do stuff like this. They lose 8-3 today, but they were actually only down 4-3 going into the 8th inning. But the 8th inning is when something really special happened, James. And
let the fans know what happened.
Yeah, so Drew, I believe his name is Drew, right?
Yep, Drew Bianco.
Drew Bianco, son of head coach at Ole Miss.
Mike
Bianco. I feel like every college baseball coach's name is Mike. Like Michael Early, Mike Martin, Mike Bianco. Like
you're on a roll. That's 3-for-3.
Mike is a very popular college baseball name. But anyway, so Drew Bianco, son of Mike Bianco,
his daddy
somehow lets him get recruited by Ole Miss and lets him go there. But that's a different story. That's a different segment we're gonna have.
LSU.
Dude, it's late, man. I'm talking.
You're grinding.
My mind and my eyes, my mind and my mouth aren't working together right now. But He hits a pinch hit homer in the eighth to kind of
steal.
Bat flipped on his dad. I'm going to go ahead and say this. I hope he gets one in the ribs tomorrow. Not because I'm against the bat flip. I love it. But I just want his dad to, like, kind of let him know who's boss still. Like,
this guy threw his own kid in his father-son game.
Yeah.
My favorite lines from Major League.
Yeah. So,
I hope there's... tattooed.
Yeah. Oh, boy, was that ball hit hard.
Boy's got some grown man strength as a freshman.
There was just a little extra, like, umph from the crowd when he hit that. Because they all knew. Like, there was a pinch hit at bat. Where he's coming up, they're already up 7-3.
You got one job, just tack on.
Exactly. And when it happened, the crowd went nuts. They knew it was a big moment for not only him, but his dad. His dad tries to stare him down as he rounds third base. And the kid, Drew didn't even look over. But as a father, James, how mad was Mike Bianco?
Dude, I'm not a father.
That's true.
James, not a father. There is 0% chance that he was pissed. Like, I feel like he low-key, like, should have been clapping. Like, who's going to be mad at you? Your player's going to be mad at you? Like, no. Like, your coach is going to be mad at you? Like, I'll fire you. I'm the boss. Get out.
Could you imagine if you would have saw him clapping it up in a silent dugout?
Like, a couple – as this kid rounds third base, you got to give a couple claps. Like, you
– No. I don't think you give him any claps. Maybe like a head nod, like,
dude. Honestly,
or a wink. I think a wink is as high as I'll let that go.
Yeah, dude. If there's one person who'd absolutely be pissed, it's the poor pitcher for Ole Miss. You gave up a homer to coach to coach's son. Jeez.
Right, and I guess going into Drew Bianco's perspective. You got a bat flip there, right? Just let
he did. It was so.
I know he did, but like, just to let Daddy know, like, hey, look what I just did to you.
So cool. They're gonna talk about that one at the Thanksgiving table forever.
Yeah, I want to dive deeper into this. I wonder if there's any hostility between Drew and Mike, not because of the bat flip and the home run today, but how do you let your son go to one of the biggest rival schools that Ole Miss has in conference, in the same division. Like, hey, Drew, like, how about you go to, like, I don't know, Vandy? Like, if you can play at LSU, you can play it anywhere in the nation, right? So is there some hostility in this family? Because I know it's like, okay, let him play where he wants to play, but you've been the head coach at Ole Miss long enough where he should not have grown up liking LSU. You know what I mean? And, like, Bianco played at Ole Miss. So at what point was Drew growing up, like, looking to go play at Alex Box Stadium? Like, hey, Dad, I want to be the opposite of what you were like. I'm going to go play for the Tigers.
It's so weird. Like, I'm going to assume that there's nothing wrong with their relationship, but it's got to be just one of those things where it's like, I want to know who initiated that conversation. Like, was it a thing when he was 16 where his dad was like, dude, like, don't play college baseball under me. Like, I want you to be your own guy. Yeah,
which is understandable. I can totally see that.
Yeah.
I think if my dad was a college baseball coach, I wouldn't play under him because I wouldn't want that added pressure or that, I don't know. I don't want that, like, target on my back. But I also wouldn't play against, like, I wouldn't go be on his rival team. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and maybe it was a situation where they genuinely made the best offer, and his dad just genuinely wanted what was best for him. You know, but hey, Drew, I know LSU offered you 60%. That's your best offer because you ain't worth it, son. I'm only giving you 30. Like,
yeah,
you
know? Pretty much.
It's so much. Weird. Do you think he offered his own son a scholarship to go there?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. The only, like, I know that Georgia Tech, the Halls, Danny Hall is the head coach at Georgia Tech baseball, and he has two sons that play for Georgia Tech, and, like, I don't see a problem with that at all. But, like, don't go send him to Florida State. Like, Danny Hall would not have let his sons go play at Florida State, I don't think,
yeah.
or anywhere in the ACC. So
it's gonna happen for 3 more years. Kid's a freshman.
I know, and he's got a nice swing, very explosive. So I don't know. I'm sure one of our listeners has the answer to all this, but the real question is there some hostility in that family? Maybe he's mad that his dad wasn't there growing up, coaching him play, like, you know, travel ball and little league and stuff. Maybe, I don't know. We'll see. But just raises some question marks.
It's my dark horse for like coolest college baseball moment of the season so far.
I agree. I'm not disagreeing with that at all. I like that take.
I've got another hot take.
Go ahead, James. You beat me to it.
While we had the greatest moment of college baseball, probably, in my opinion, so far this season, we had the biggest head scratching moment as well.
You're gonna call it a head scratching moment?
Dude, I'm trying to be somewhat positive. There's this ground ball hits a first baseman for Ole Miss in the same game.
Kevin Graham is who it is.
Don't put Kevin on blast like that. He's gonna hear so much crap about that tomorrow.
Freshman, 6'195". Really like 5'10", 175.
Yeah.
I know how to do their stats.
We know how the roster works. Everyone gets an inch and a half and 10 pounds.
Right.
But there's this little ground ball hit. It's one of those plays where, like, the pitcher might take the ball, might cover first. Or actually, he might cover first. And then the first baseman fields the ball, stops, tosses it to the pitcher, who then tosses it back to the first baseman, and somehow they don't get the runner.
It just gives me the heebie-jeebies.
Imagine being in the dugout when that happened. Like, what the hell's going on?
So if you're not an auditory learner, you got to see the video because it is the weirdest moment I've ever seen. So the first baseman, Kevin Graham, fields the ball in front of first base, like probably by like 6 feet. And instead of turning around and running 6 feet and touching the bag, he tosses it to a pitcher who's kind of just doing the, I'm going to run this way so my pitching coach understands that I know to cover first base, and is in total shock when he sees a ball coming at him.
He's like, oh, no. Like,
wait, why is this ball coming towards me? It should be going the other direction to first base. And it turns into like a panic where he catches it and tosses it back.
Hot potato moment. No, you take it.
It's literally a hot potato moment. And it just tosses it back to the first baseman who is trying to find the bag, catch the ball, and beat the runner. And it's just like, if you haven't seen like the Bad News Bears or like the bench warmers, like this play would embarrass those teams. Like that's how bad this play was.
Even Lupus wouldn't have screwed it up.
Lupus and the kid in the wheelchair would not have would not have messed this up any worse.
I have diabetes, you dick.
What a great movie.
Dude, but the first baseman's reaction was priceless. After he was so fired up. Like, dude, when you make that type of mistake, you have no reaction whatsoever. Like, none.
You got to fake an injury. You got to fake some sort of injury there.
You got to fake an injury.
Yeah, whatever it is.
Dude, you know what it is? I tore my UCL on the underhand toss to the pitcher. I'm done. You got to cart me off the field.
But yeah, that was just the weirdest moment. So you have one of the greatest moments in college baseball this year with Drew Bianco hitting a homer off his dad's team. And then you have Kevin Graham fielding ground balls at first base and throwing the baseball further away from first base, and I don't even know how to describe it.
Someone to get that highlight and play it with the circus music on the background. I want it.
Don't insult the circus like that, James. Don't do that. That's what, like, we're not.
Kind of had a circus act going on in Aggieland today with an awesome Friday night matchup between Mississippi State and Texas A&M. This game was actually pushed back. The Aggies and Mississippi State played a doubleheader due to crazy weather in Texas yesterday. Kind of let the fans know what happened to Aggieland if they're not aware.
First of all, I want to say great transition there, James. Talking
about
circuses,
like we do this full time.
Talking about circuses and kind of using that to go. I like it.
Showmanship.
Yeah, a little showmanship. But you're right. Ethan Small pitched an absolute gem today against the Aggies. Like, they had
no
chance.
If you've heard that one before.
Yeah, the Aggies had no chance at what he was throwing to the plate today. Like, Slider was on. Changeup was on. Fastball elevated was unhittable. There was, I don't know, there was two or three moments where I thought he was going to lose it, but he just came back with better pitches. I've never seen anything like it. But come the seventh inning, something happens where I've heard that the third base coach for Texas A&M was yelling about a balk, trying to get at him, like trying to get the umpires to ruin his rhythm. He had a perfect game going, and I feel like there was something that happened.
Did you guys hit the ball, coach?
There was something that happened, maybe like a close call, that the perfect game was broken up, but the no-hitter was still intact. I don't know. Ethan Small was fired up at the Texas A&M dugout for chirping, third base coach for chirping, and he gets a strikeout in the top of the seventh or bottom of the seventh.
Runners on the corners, tying run at first.
Yeah, and he just loses it, right? Like, strikes the guy out and immediately turns his whole body to the third base dugout. And just, you can, I'm not good at lip reading, but I'm sure there was quite a few words that would
make this podcast. NSFW words.
Yeah. it would make this podcast very explicit. And so there were some players yelling back at A&M, but for the most part, it kind of put A&M in their place. Like, there was two guys yelling back, and the rest kind of, like, got down from the dugout, like, uh-oh, is he yelling at me? Like, yeah. He basically played daddy there. Like, Ethan Small yelled at the dugout.
It's only fitting because he's been the daddy of the SEC all season long.
Yeah, and we're not a pro Mississippi State podcast by any means, but it was good to see this because recently Ethan Small has been getting overshadowed by Jake Mangum, and because of all his success and his career that he's had, Ethan Small has also been getting disrespected by the NCAA for Pitcher of the Week honors. I think he's come out like three or four times top four, and they had that little vote off, and he's never seemed to win it. Like, going, you know, 8 innings, 15 strikeouts, no runs.
He's the best pitcher in college baseball. It's not even close.
Yeah, and he's getting no respect for it. And I want somebody to make this segment a soundbite, because I think the Mississippi State fans would really appreciate this, because I'm going to go ahead and say it. The disrespect that Ethan Small has been getting, not so much as people aren't talking about him, but I think people are kind of expecting him to go out and do what he's doing every single night, and just looking for just the one mistake that he makes, or maybe rooting for him to fail. The NCAA, I don't think they understand what they have. Like, they don't understand what they have right now. Like, they have the mini Chris Sale right now, dominating the best league in college baseball.
He's dominating, totally dominating, just embarrassing hitters every single weekend.
And there's no praise for him. You don't see, like, the NCAA and college baseball, D1 baseball, everybody has been all about Jake Mangum, his career. They're talking about Noah Song from Navy. They're talking about what else is going on here. I mean, there's a ton of things going on in college baseball. And Ethan Small consistently going out there, 7-plus innings, 15 punch-outs, one run, no runs. And just there's no honors going, like, there's no weekly honors going his way. There's no player of the month, pitcher of the month, pitcher of the week.
Hey, you know what? I'm gonna step in right now and say he should win the Golden Spikes Award.
He's the best player in college baseball, James. The only other person I could see winning that and me being okay with, okay too. Well, the more I think about it, the more people that I...
There's a lot of good players, bro. But he's on another level.
Adley Rutschman is the best overall position player in college baseball.
Dude, if they match up 10 at-bats against each other, how do you think that goes?
Well, Ethan Small, I think, would win 8 out of those.
Ooh, really?
Yeah. I think his stuff is that good. And I think... 2 out of 10 for Adley Rutschman from the right side of the plate is also a plus. Hunter Bishop is another candidate that I think could win the Golden Spikes.
Those two face off too.
I do too. I really do. And I think we'll get one of those two at some point in the postseason, which I'm really pumped for. another sleeper pick for Golden Spikes that nobody's talking about. Alec Burleson from East Carolina. Two-way guy. I think he's 4-1 on the mound with like five saves. Also started a few games for him. And he's hitting like 360 with like 10-plus homers. I mean, best two-way player in the game. So
you heard it first.
If you're looking at best overall amateur player, it's kind of like the Heisman.
Yeah.
Most outstanding. Like you go into definition terms. Alec Burleson's another player that could see it getting some votes just because of what he's done all around. But best player overall, college baseball, in my opinion, Ethan Small. That I'm just saying it. But he won't get the love because he's a pitcher. Only throws once a week.
He's wiping the floor with the competition.
Yeah. So that's enough about Mississippi State and Ethan Small. James, let's talk a little bit about Stanford and USC. Just throwing a big wrench at college baseball. I noticed this picture, let's see, about maybe 20 minutes before we started the show. And I was like, we got to add this in somewhere. So Stanford and USC are playing a Friday night game. No big deal, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, like they've done this the last 50 years. Like they,
yeah, once this a year, one's different.
Once a year for 50 years. My voice just cracked there because I'm embarrassed for both of those schools. That's why it cracked. But Stanford and USC show up to the field probably 4 hours before game time, 3.5 for batting practice.
At least.
They also know like one team is visitors, one team is home. But somehow it slips through the crack where both teams wear black. Shouldn't be a big deal, right? Like home team probably goes, okay, like we'll wear whites on Friday. Like who cares?
It'll make sense.
We will just change our uniforms because we have a locker room attached to the dugout and we will just change our uniforms. It's Friday night, so all of our jerseys should be cleaned. And that doesn't seem like it happened because both teams show up to the field, line up on the line, national anthem, Friday night, big crowd, both teams wearing black. Like I wonder who was the first person to say, like, hey, yo, coach, they're wearing the same color we are, which isn't against the rules. It's not against the rules, but it's against the unwritten rules of just baseball in general.
I know what you're going to say.
I remember being 12 years old and playing travel ball tournaments and having to switch jerseys in the dugout because there was another team wearing blue that day. Like, if we could do it as 12-year-olds, what's stopping these teams from somebody change a jersey? You're on TV. Like the Pac-12 network actually televised the series, and you're gonna play both teams wearing all black.
There's nothing that's gonna turn off the normal fan who's like, "Oh, I'll check out this college baseball." Like, nope, not like, watching this.
They don't take this seriously.
Not watching the softball contest going on. Sorry.
No, just any average fan would see that and be like, "Well, this isn't a real deal. Like, this is." This isn't a real game. This is an inter-squad. So USC and Stanford played an inter-squad today. Both teams wanted to wear their black jersey. Oh, and I forgot. This just fired me up. This just fired me up even more. Both teams aren't black. Like, Stanford is red and white, and USC is like red, white, and gold. Or yellow. Like, how did I just think about that? Like, both teams
aren't black. Each coach thought they were going to be clever. Like, there's no way the other team will wear black. It's not even in their colors.
Yeah. Like, hey, we're good. We'll wear black on Friday. They're not going to, like, they don't have a black jersey. Both teams said that. We're going to wear our battle blacks on Friday to really set the tone for the series.
Oh, my
They're God. Just pointing at each other. Yeah, but both teams aren't black.
You know what that means is because they both had a black jersey in their arsenal, obviously. But now that it's both out of the way on Friday night, They're both gonna end up wearing white on the same day too now.
If the road team, I don't even remember who the road team was. I'm about to look it up real fast. If Stanford brings a white jersey on the road, that is just the most utterly disrespectful thing out there. But yeah, so Stanford is the road team. USC is the home team. Just confirmed that on my laptop. But that would be like if I don't know if like the Dodgers and the Padres played and both teams were black. It's like, wait, you guys aren't black. Why are you wearing black?
Brutal.
What are we doing here?
Totally brutal.
Had to talk about that a little bit on the podcast tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing will get me fired up more than you just not wearing your colors and both teams not wearing their colors that match. Just,
hey, but you know who should wear a black jersey for shame?
Me. It's
Texas. Getting walked off tonight by Kansas on a 2-run home. Dude, first of all, I think David Pierce is asking for it. Did you see the pitcher who gave up the homer? It's a submarine righty pitching to a lefty. You're just asking for it.
Throwing fastballs low and in.
What are you doing? Get someone in the – like, why is he in the game? Those 82 miles an hour, like, what's he going to do, jam him?
It's not on, like – it's not even a Sunday where, like, maybe they're out of pitching. It's a Friday night.
It's Friday night.
Like, you don't have a better matchup than that?
He's like, oh, yeah, he's fine. He's fine. Off the scoreboard. Mm-hmm. He's not fine. Pick up your clipboard and go study for tomorrow's game.
Oh, my God. Hey, pizza will be in the lobby of the hotel. A pizza.
Dude, Pierce was sending a text for pizza while that pitch was on its way. I think he's just trying to get the season
over. What are you telling me? They don't have Papa John's in Kansas. two to a pizza. Loops in room 319. Dude. Yeah. 10 minutes.
No, jerseys only, no loops.
Jerseys only, no loops. That's it. It makes me so happy to see Texas just falling apart right in front of our eyes. Like they are the piece of bread that Baseball America left in the top 10 toaster for too long, and now they're just crumbling away.
You think in the Baseball America's meetings on Sunday night they say, "Hey, you want to like move them from like 11 to 12 or what?" Like
Actually, technically, this loss to Kansas really helps the RPI because it was on the road. So let's move them up from 10 to 9.
Dude, that's so embarrassing to be a national publication like for so long to keep them in the top 10.
I will say, we were the first team to take them out of the top 25. Or sorry, we were the first media coverage.
You called us a team. I just caught that.
Wait, we're not a team?
Well, we're a three-man team, man.
Yeah. So we were the first college baseball media outlet that has a ranking system that dropped them from the top 25. So I don't think they're making a comeback anytime soon. But yeah, you just can't lose Friday night to Kansas. And that they are the sole proprietors of last place. Sole proprietor.
That's not a pass-through partnership. Mm-hmm. They have full recourse, liability.
Full liabilities between, yep. Well, they do. They do have full liability for what happened this year. It shouldn't have happened.
Well, dude, I want to ask you, what was the most surprising thing that you saw tonight or something that really caught your eye the most? Through the scores. Through the score, I mean, obviously the Bianca.
I was about to say those black jerseys. That caught my eye. See a screenshot on Twitter, and I'm just like, wait, how is there three people on the same team, like in one frame? It's like pitcher, catcher, batter, shortstop, like the back of the shortstop's head, and there's runner on second, and everybody's wearing black. And I'm like, what is going on here? Like how is everybody wearing? The umpires were also wearing black. That's another thing.
Like, hey, Blue,
is there a funeral tonight in USC? Like what? I would actually feel really bad if that this was a game that they were honoring like a death of somebody. Dude. Wow, I just thought about that.
It's the more I think about it, the more likely it is. Can we
change,
move on.
Can we change? Yeah, let's change the topic. I'm sorry. I'm just gonna say I'm sorry, so like that covers me, because I am a sole proprietor and I don't want full liability of what I just talked about. Sorry, I'm sorry. James, instead of talking about what caught our eye, can we talk about? Since there's been a lot of weather delays and postponements, can we talk about the craziest delays/postponements we've had in college baseball? Well, James looks pretty frozen right now, so I'm just going to go ahead and start with my story. James,
I'm alive.
Oh, you're live. Okay, cool. Well, you're really good at being still. That's good for you, man. Really good at being still. So we're talking about... Since there was a lot of weather delays, there was some bad weather in like parts of Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi today. So it reminded me and you of just delays in college baseball and how crazy it can be. You get delays for crazy stuff, not just weather. like stuff you won't see in Major League Baseball.
100%.
And that's what makes college baseball such a pure game, such a fun, like never know what you're going to see. And so like earlier this year, we saw the bald eagle drop the fish on the field and there was a delay. Like we've seen cats and squirrels run on the field and weird stuff like that. But personally, the weirdest delay that I've ever had in college baseball was my freshman year when I was at UT Martin. We played Eastern Michigan. And we were playing in a tournament at Belmont, and Belmont is in Nashville, but the baseball field,
this geography is rough right now on me.
I know. Yeah. It's just all over the place, but
Florida wouldn't be able to handle it. They would have lost.
Yes, very much so. But so Nashville is in, Belmont's in Nashville, but the baseball field is in like a neighborhood, right? It is like on top of a hill in a neighborhood. And so we're playing a tournament, and the game starts at like 9 p.m. or 8 p.m., and Belmont's nowhere in sight. Like, there's no coaches, no players, no nothing. There's three people in the stands.
Really?
And I remember being at the end of the dugout, like, taking a chart, like, writing on a chart, and all of a sudden, it goes pitch black, James. Like, mid-pitch, pitcher comes set, it goes pitch black. And I'm like, I can't see my chart in front of me. Like, what is going on?
Am I blind? Check your eyes.
So umpire goes, time.
Like, no shit.
And everybody's just like, what? What's going on? And so we sit around for 20 minutes with no answers. Like, hey, someone turn the lights on. Oh, wait, there's no one here to turn the lights on. Let's call the Belmont coach. They call the Belmont coach. He's like, oh, yeah. Like, this is, I wasn't on the phone call, but this is how I imagine it went. He goes, listen. He goes, oh, yeah. This is a city park, and the lights automatically turn off at 10 p.m. Because the umpire comes back to our dugout. Because the umpire comes back and says, hey, yo, like, we just talked to the Belmont coach. He says the lights cut off at 10 p.m. And our coach goes, yeah.
Turn them back on.
They just finished a game against Miami, Ohio. Like, they couldn't have told us that at 9 p.m. Like, he's nowhere in sight. So the umpire goes, yeah, he's driving back up to turn the lights on. They turn the lights on for about an inning or two. And then the Belmont coach pretty much stops the game and says, hey, yo, the neighborhood, not neighborhood watch, but what neighborhood, like
Homeowners Association
said, you got to cut the lights. I'm not kidding, James. Got to cut the lights. We got to resume tomorrow morning. So like, just what is going on here? Like, this is my third or fourth college game of all time, and the lights get cut off and we're not allowed to play because there's two people in a van sitting down the road saying too bright for my people to sleep, gotta protect my people.
Oh my god.
So yeah, that's a story you will not hear anywhere else.
When did y'all finish the game? Like, what happened there?
The next morning at like 9 a.m.
I like how they left at 9 o'clock and just didn't say anything.
That's what I'm saying. Like, how are you going to be the coach at Belmont and not like and see that you guys finish at 8 o'clock and the first pitch of the next game is at 9 o'clock and be like, they'll figure it out.
Yeah. Like, so boy, are they going to be in for a surprise?
Yeah. Golly. So
I'm looking up Belmont.
It was pitch black. It was literally pitch black, James.
Dude, there were a few things darker than being at a baseball complex when the lights are off.
Oh, dude, it was scary. And, like, I think this was before iPhones had, like, the flashlights.
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember having any flashlights. I remember a bunch of people left stuff in the dugout that night because they just couldn't find it. So, James, you were telling me about a funny delay. And this will be the last story before we wrap up. So, you take us home, James. Tell us about the funny delay.
Okay, I kind of have, like, I've got something I got to get off my chest, too. Because you just mentioned a lot of stuff being left in the dugout. I swear to you, man, there is some type of monster in the Virginia Commonwealth Visitors dugout. Because my junior year at Longwood, I'm always the last one out of the dugout because I don't want to lose anything. I was the last one out, and I couldn't find my Evil Shield cool leg guard. I made myself a promise that I played Division I baseball. I was going to buy a leg guard just to have one. I did, and I lost it. It was nowhere in the dugout. Somebody stole it. I don't know what happened to it. I didn't want to leave. This is ridiculous. But
did you ask your teammates?
I did. I think someone took it and just.
I think so. Yeah.
I was so pissed.
That's tough. Don't blame Virginia Commonwealth, though.
I couldn't believe it. But cool, cool weather delay story. That's, dude, your story is funny as hell.
Oh, dude. I have stories for days in college baseball.
Oh, dude. It was so much happened. Honestly, my favorite thing about, favorite memories are the weird, wild stories.
Yeah.
But it was my junior year and our last series of the year. And when you get to that time of the year, everyone's just kind of loopy anyways. Like, it's a fun time of year because you're out of school and all that. We're playing at Appalachian State up in the mountains. If you guys aren't familiar with it, the school's up in the mountains. The stadium's up in the mountains. It's really, really cool. And
wait, which mountain complex? Which mountain range?
Shut up.
I was going to say, wait. That was a layup. You didn't know?
Dude, come on, man. Appalachian Mountains. And all of a sudden, a storm rolls in. And we're just like, all right, well, you're up in the mountains. I guess, stuff happens up here. And after a while, we're just like, hey, where's Drew? They're like, what? Drew's in right field. We're like, yeah. Where is he? And we turn around, we notice that you can't see the outfielders anymore because a giant fog storm just rolled in. you can't see the outfielders anymore. No, nothing's literally Drew, our right fielder, is calling in from right field, like asking people, like, what's going on?
Hey, yo, Blue.
Yeah. and our coach just goes, time, please? Just because we're playing defense. We're playing defense. Appalachian State is not going to say a word. They're hitting.
Yeah. No way.
They're hitting. They're like, a home field advantage, bro. Like, nah. He's got a pitch. Like a Happy Gilmore scene. Like, oh, play it as it lies. We're like, no way. So we walked out there, and our coach is like, dude, we're not pitching another ball. Our outfielders literally just walked up until they could see. They were like 30 feet behind the infielders. I guess we'll play for right here. So long story short, they ended up having a nice fog delay for 2 hours. The storm just wouldn't leave. So in the meantime, we were playing a duck, duck, goose around the pitcher's mound. All
classic. Classic.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure there was video of it, but you just couldn't see. Like, no, people, dude, from the stands, like, just couldn't see you guys.
It was so wild. And I think it happened 2 days in a row. Happened 2 days in a row, actually. Yeah. It was 2 days in a row. And the fog was so thick that if you're in the bullpen in right field, you couldn't see where the right fielder was either. It was so crazy. I mean, and then when we finally started playing the games the next day, there was fog, but it was like 30 feet off the ground. So if like a fly ball kind of went high enough, weren't going to see it. You just work. It was fun, dude.
That sounds amazing. Did you guys end up winning the game?
No, dude. We actually got swept that whole weekend. Yeah, it was so wild. We ended up 32-27, and I remember thinking, oh, we could have had a nice 35-win season, but it was our non-conference weekend. We were locked into our conference tournament as the 3 seed, and we just didn't. We bullpened it. It was so funny because they were actually a terrible team that year. It was like their head coach on the staff knew they were getting fired, and it was like obviously senior weekend. It was just like an eerie, weird little weekend.
You guys just caught them at the wrong time. Like a lot of emotions going on.
Yeah, dude. But that Appalachian State actually had their shortstop was like a transfer from North Carolina. I think he hit 4 home runs against us that weekend. He was a beast.
Did any of them go into the fog? You just
a lot. One of them was so far into the fog that our coach even made fun of the starting pitcher who gave it up because it was so bad.
I love it. Well, James, that was a fun episode. We will be back. This is an announcement for people that made it this far. James is actually going to be busy Sunday night, so our next podcast is not going to be until Monday. So you guys tune in Monday. I don't know if we're going to do it in the morning, afternoon, night. You guys just be aware. We'll make more announcements this weekend on social media. But we are going to be enjoying our weekend. James won't be here. And Monday will be the next podcast. So you guys have a fun weekend and have, I don't know, let's, uh, do something cool this weekend. Do something different. Watch a lot of college baseball.
Yeah.
See ya.